Assalamu alaikum. Right here, I am in front of the walls of the city of Qartaba. Medieval Qartaba, this was the Muslim capital for nearly 300 years throughout the Umayyad period. In 755-756, Abdurrahman I, the first Umayyad Amir of Qartaba or Islamic Spain, he made this city his capital, and you can see the walls going very far, very much in their original state, very well preserved. We're going to keep walking, inshallah, so that we can talk more about it. Qartaba was the capital of Islam in Al-Andalus, in Islamic Spain. This is where some of the greatest scholars walked. This is where some of the greatest thinkers, theologians, poets, scientists, they were born in this very city. I can mention names, Ibn Hazm, for example. The street you can see right now in front of me could have been a street where Muslims lived. Of course, it was a street where Muslims lived. The entire city was a Muslim city, right? And the streets are still very much the same size. Houses are resurrected on top of the old houses. And these are the streets I can imagine where Imam Qurtubi, Imam Ibn Hazm, Imam Ibn Rushd, okay, Baqi bin Makhlad, Ibn Abdul Barr, all of these great scholars would have walked in these streets. Now we're going to be getting to Masjid Qartaba very, very soon, the great Qartaba Mosque. Some people think that if there was the fourth holiest site of Islam, it would have been Qartaba, okay? Because of the people who walked through these streets and because of the people who prayed in Masjid Qartaba. So this is a very, very important city in the history of Islam. It is now in Spain, of course. So Qartaba remained the capital of Islam and Muslims in Spain until the Murabids, Al-Murabitun and Al-Muwahidun came in, and they chose Seville to be their capital. So if you look inside these houses, some of them that are now tourist spots or hotels or something like that, you still see patios, and we can come back, inshallah. Yeah. So Casa de Safad, there is this place in front of me. Safad was the Jewish term for Al-Andalus, basically. Andalusian Jews, Spanish Jews who lived under the rule of Islam, they flourished here. Qartaba had a good population of the Jewish people. In fact, one of the greatest rabbis, or the greatest rabbi in Jewish history, called Musa bin Maimun, also known as Maimonides, was born in this city. He was born here in Qartaba. He was educated in Qartaba, and later on he had to leave with his family for Egypt, where he served the Ayyubids. He was the physician to the Sultan. Okay, so we are walking these streets because these streets have seen or felt the feet of great individuals, great personalities. Here we have a statue of Musa bin Maimun, the famous Maimonides I just talked about. Okay, so this is a depiction of Musa bin Maimun, the Jewish rabbi. If you look at him, he looks like a Muslim scholar, with a turban, with a robe, with a book in his hand, with a beard, very Muslim character. He possibly looked like this. We don't know whether he actually looked like this, but he probably did, because this was the fashion in Qartaba. Okay, this is how Muslims dressed in Qartaba, with a turban, Muslim men, with the outer garment. Okay, and the streets are still very traditional in many ways, and we are making our way to the masjid right now, and you will see the walls of the masjid, the compound, and you will see Islamic calligraphy, Islamic art on the walls to this day. The masjid is very much in its original shape inside. When we walk inside, if we are allowed to film, we will see that the older part that was initiated by Abdurrahman I in the 8th century, okay, 780s, he started the project. And then many expansions were done later on by his descendants, people like Abdurrahman III, who declared himself to be the Caliph in 929 CE, okay? And then Hakam II, Abdurrahman III's son, he also made an expansion to Masjid Qartaba, and then the final expansion of the masjid was done by Ibn Amir, also known as Al-Mansur or Al-Manzur. We will look at that expansion as well, if we are allowed to film. But we are walking through the streets of Qartaba, where these great luminaries, scholars, thinkers, poets, you know, scientists. This city was the most learned city in the world. This city was, how can I put it, the Cambridge or Oxford or Baghdad. It was, Baghdad was a big, of course, it was a big, solid capital of learning. Many people were traveling to Baghdad to take books and knowledge and meet the scholars. But Qartaba was very similar in that respect, where some of the greatest scholars were born and they walked the streets. This is why Qartaba became a hub of learning. Many European scholars, thinkers, traveled to Qartaba from European countries like Britain, like France. They came here, they learned the Arabic language. I can mention names of English scholars or British scholars who actually came to the city of Qartaba. One of them was Adelard of Bath. Another man was called Daniel of Morlaix. Okay, these people, they came here. Actually, one of the popes, Pope Sylvester II, also known as Gerbert of Aurillac, who was pope from 999 to 1003. For 4 years, he was the pope. He had learned Arabic, and he had introduced a lot of Arabic knowledge to his Christian brethren. So this city was very important, not only for Muslims, but also for Jews and Christians. And some of the greatest libraries were here. In fact, Hakam II, the Umayyad Caliph, had 400,000 books in his library in the 10th century, in 900s, 950s onwards, right? So we're gonna do a quick introduction. Maybe Brother Tariq wants to talk.
We're waiting for someone.
Sure, okay, so we can walk, inshallah. Okay, so we'll continue walking. Now we can see the tower in front of us. This place was a book market. All the streets around the mosque compound, basically these shops would have been bookshops at that time, because book culture was very, very, very much in fashion here in Qartaba. Most people would come here to study with scholars. So this is the outer wall of the compound. Okay. And if you look at the hotel right in front of the masjid, it's called Hotel Maimonides. Maimonides again was a Jewish rabbi called the second Moses. He's also known as Rambam among the Jewish people. His name was Musa bin Maimun, an Arabic name, and he was known later on as Maimonides, and to the Jewish people he's known as Rambam, as mentioned. Okay, now over to Brother Tariq, I think.
You're talking?
On the spotlight?
Yeah.
Anybody left behind? So, welcome to Masjid Qartaba. Okay, when we go inside, you'll get an idea of the place. Just very, very quickly, to recap, Abdurrahman arrived here. When the Muslims first arrived, there was a church here on this site. Rafa, our guide, will explain all of that. The Muslims came, they purchased half of the building. They didn't come in, even though they could have taken, they didn't, they purchased half. And they started, and they used half of the structure that was here as a masjid, and half was used as a church. Okay, for the next 70 years, this was the situation. Then 755, who arrived here? 755, who arrived? Abdurrahman the First. Abdurrahman the First, he arrived. And then in 785, once he established himself, he dealt with the Abbasids, he dealt with the uprisings in the north, he dealt with the Christians, etc. He now needed to, one, make a mark, and two, needed to build a masjid because the space here wasn't enough. So what did he do? He purchased the other half, the second half, and he built the construction of the masjid. Again, you will hear a lot of detail. All that information will be repeated inside. But this is what he started. The greatest masjid in its time, the largest masjid in its time. And also, as Ustad Adnan mentioned earlier, at the time, it was considered for Muslims that if we were to have a fourth holy site, this would have been it. So most of you probably didn't realize the significance and importance of this building before you came. Fine, maybe a lot of you probably would have thought, yes, we're going to visit Masjid Cordoba. But it's probably one of the most important sites that you are ever going to visit. Symbolically, historically, it's one of the most important sites you will ever visit. Local people, when they couldn't, obviously it doesn't replace it and they wasn't trying to replace it, but if they couldn't go and do Hajj and Umrah, they would come here in a way, not trying to, you know, exchange it for Hajj and Umrah or anything like that, but this is how important. Also, as mentioned on the bus by Ustad, is just think about the caliber of the students that came out of this place. Just think about the names of the Ibn Rushd, Qurtubi, Imam Qurtubi, Ibn Hazm, etc., etc., etc. The list is endless. These are giants of Islam. The giants of Islam. Not only in the Muslim world, in the Jewish world, the giants of the Jewish world, in particular this guy Maimonides. We passed his statue, but we didn't have time to stop. On the way back, we will stop quickly. Maimonides is the greatest Jewish philosopher ever. You know the Jews, what title they've given him? Who's the most important person in Judaism?
Musa.
They gave him the title, the second Moses.
Yes.
This is how high a rank. And where did he prosper? Where did he become what he did? Was here. Very quickly, an interesting quote that he made. And then we'll move on because we need to meet our guide. He said something very interesting. So when we speak about Jews and their history, and if they say, oh, the greatest threat to us or their history, what do we associate it with when we hear about Jewish history and every time we learn about it, what do we hear?
Holocaust
and persecution and pogroms and all of this, like, throughout the history, this is what's been going on. So Maimonides said, the greatest danger for a Jew in Cordoba, what would you think it is? The Christians or persecution or their rights being taken away. You would automatically assume that. But he said, very, very interesting, the greatest danger for a Jew in Cordoba is the attraction of Islam. Nothing else, no persecution, their rights not being taken away. Maimonides, his name is Ibn Maymun. Ibn Maymun, and his claim to fame for us is that he fell out with the Amir here, migrated, went to Egypt, and was the personal physician of a number of Amirs, including Salahuddin Ayyubi. He was his personal doctor. Okay, so we'll carry on, meet Rafa, and then he's going to run us through, and then later we will talk a lot more about Cordoba and its history.
Thank you so much. And just to add to that, why did he say that the greatest threat for a Jew in Cordoba would be the literature of Islam? Because he spent much of his life trying to dissuade many Jewish people from converting to Islam. He was actually sent a letter from Yemen, Yemeni Jews, who had received a lot of dawah from local Muslims, and local Muslims were presenting biblical verses to them, showing them the Arabian prophet foretold in their scripture. So they wrote a letter with all those quotes and verses to Maimonides, who was in Egypt, that what do we say to these Muslims? How do we respond to them? That there are verses in the Old Testament that clearly foretell the coming of someone from Arabia, someone with prophetic capacity, or someone with a lot of power, and he will come with the law. And then Maimonides wrote a letter in response, and he naturally he was a Jewish rabbi. He had to dissuade his followers, and he put some strange spins on those verses. And they said, no, these verses are not talking about Muhammad. They're talking about something else, someone else. And it's a long topic. The point is, the Jewish people were very prosperous in this territory so long as Muslim ruled there. But as soon as the Muslim rule was gone, there was no prosperity. They had to leave. Okay? So let's move on. Inshallah, we will meet our guide so that we can go inside. For Salah, because when this city was taken, the masjid was occupied, and it the mosque was turned into a cathedral. So there was a smaller cathedral inside, and then later on a bigger cathedral was made in the 16th century when Charles V, the Holy Roman Emperor, was in power in the 16th century. So it is said when Charles entered the building, when the cathedral was completed, he said to his priests and clergy present at the time that you have destroyed this structure, you have made something inside it, something that could be made anywhere else, and you have destroyed something that cannot be made today, or that cannot be made again. And we will see what he meant very quickly. I just want to show the outer walls to our camera and our online audience. While you wait for Rafa, just stay here. I'll walk with my cameraman. Okay. Right. So the reason we're walking down is to show you something very interesting, very special. These walls, they stand from the Muslim period. Okay. As I said, this is where some of these greatest scholars would have walked, right? And they would have studied. Oh, actually, unfortunately, these, the Islamic art, which is outside, has been cordoned off and it's been covered up. But there is one door we can look at very quickly. Okay, one gate. So if we look at this, this is very much from the Islamic period, okay, and it still stands to this day. Okay, this part is from the Islamic period. You can see for the last 800 years, this has been untouched, preserved, and it's a phenomenon that this survives to this day. This is what the Muslim scholars and Muslim students would have looked at. There's clearly Arabic calligraphy on top there. Okay, this is very much an Islamic design, and it's still standing, still preserved, still very much intact. Unfortunately, the other parts have been cordoned off because I think they're doing renovations. So I just wanted to show this, the outside structure of the masjid. We know this was a masjid because look, this is all done for the masjid. And this would have been an entrance inside the masjid. Now it's closed. We're going to go inside. I hope we are allowed to film in there. And if we are, we're going to show you something inside the masjid, inshallah. You can turn off. So here I have 2 dirhams minted in Cordoba. Okay, they're silver dirhams, and they were minted after the reign of Abdurrahman I, and they were minted by his descendants. So it's very clearly written here. If you read, Bismillah, Duriba hadha dirham bil Andalus. In the name of Allah, this dirham was minted in Al Andalus in the year Sana 52 Hijri. Okay, so this dirham in my hand right here was minted in 252 Hijri. Okay, now we're going to have to check what Amir was ruling at the time. It was Amir Muhammad, if I'm not mistaken. Amir Muhammad, who was one of the descendants of Abdurrahman I. Okay, so this is a very real dirham. It could have been used in one of the markets around here. Who knows? Okay, and the other one, I have another one, which is earlier, relatively earlier. Okay, this has the same formula written on it. Bismillah, Duriba hadha dirham bil Andalus, Sana Khamsa wa thalathin wa miyatain. So this is 235 Hijri. Okay, just for the online audience. Okay, so this is a dirham minted, made in Qartaba. Right now we stand in the courtyard, or in the basically outer part of the masjid. The masjid entrance is just there behind us. If you look, this is where the security is. When we go through that gate or that door, we turn left. Immediately we will see the older part, the 8th century part. That was built by Abdurrahman I. Okay, yeah, you can. You want to take it outside? Yes. We can do it later. Okay. Everyone can touch it later. Okay, and it's only about $20 to touch it. Okay. So we have Rafa Gutierrez. Thank you so much. Okay, thank you. So we're going to go now and okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma iftah li abwaab rahmataka. This is Masjid Qurtuba. This is Masjid Qurtuba. You can raise it. And this is the oldest part of the masjid. This is from Abdurrahman the first, his time. You can raise it. You can film it properly, no problem. Yeah, you can hold it like that. Yeah. So this part is the oldest part of the masjid. This was made in the 8th century, 780s, when Abdurrahman the first, he started. You look at the pillars and you can look, you can see how old the pillars are, okay? So this is the oldest part. This part is the oldest part. And you can see the columns, the capitals, they were taken from Roman sites in Spain and they were recycled here, part of the architecture. The pillars are from the Roman sites as well. And this was done in 780s. When Abdurrahman I was ruling, he came to power in 755 and he consolidated his power. For the next 30 years, he was busy trying to consolidate his power. But one of the things he did was he started this masjid. This part is the oldest. And if we move forward, there were many expansions done to the masjid. So when we go higher here, this part was done by Abdurrahman III in the 10th century. And you can see there's a cathedral right in the middle. This was done as soon as the Christians, they took, you can, am I visible in the, yeah? No, you can raise it if you want. It's not a problem now. This part, this is the cathedral that was built later on, right inside the masjid, right in the middle, okay? We are told this is the place where Abdurrahman III stood and he declared himself to be caliph in 929 CE, more than 1,000 years ago. About 1,100 years ago, Abdurrahman III stood on this spot because this was part of his expansion. So he'll continue to move. So there's a cathedral that stands right in the middle of the masjid. This is all from the Islamic period. You can see later on crosses were put up. Then this part was done in the 10th century by Hakam II, the very son of Abdurrahman III, who became the caliph or who declared his caliphate from Cordoba. This part is from the 10th century. It's almost 1,000 years old. The pillars still stand, the capitals still standing. And this is the famous mihrab in front of us. You will see the mihrab from the time of Hakam II. This mihrab is 1,000 years old. You can see the calligraphy. If you stand there and film it. If you see the calligraphy there, go back a little bit, please. Go up. Just look at the Arabic writing on top of the mihrab. Yeah. If you focus on that, and it reads Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Huwallahu alladhi la ilaha illa huwal mulk. هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون الله أكبر. Those verses are there. You can go back to wide. Yeah. So this is a mihrab from the time of Abdurrahman III, and you can see over 1,000 years old calligraphy. So the arches are still very much intact. It's a beautiful structure. This part we are walking through was expanded during the period of Hakam II, who was a successor of Abd al-Rahman III. Now the part we are about to enter was the final expansion of Masjid Qartaba. That was also done in the 10th century by Ibn Amir, also known as Al-Mansur. If you look at the columns, there are names inscribed on the columns. You don't have to zoom in, just show it. There are names inscribed on each and every single column, denoting the work of a particular person, a certain person. Okay. If we go around, there's another name, Mim and Ha, initials. So this is from the period of Ibn Amir. What we see here is casts of the names inscribed on the pillars, and this is like a museum inside this Masjid Qartaba. You can see the names. Okay, Mas'ud is there, for example. Mas'ud. Mas'ud was possibly an architect. Mubarak, Nasser. Okay, Nasser is there again, right? And Khalf. So there are many. Hakam, there's a person called Hakam. Some of them are inscribed with Lillah, the word Lillah. People didn't want to put their name on the pillar because they wanted to simply show that this is only done for the sake of Allah. They don't want their name to be there. So this is from the 10th century CE, which is over 1,000 years old. You can see Arabic calligraphy there on the wall. Still very much. This is Masjid Qartaba. This was one of the largest masjids in the world at the time, up to the 10th century. So this expansion was done by Ibn Amir al-Mansur, this part. So there were many expansions. So brothers and sisters, remember, try to imagine the people who walked through these arches, people who prayed here in this part. This is where Ibn Hazm would have prayed, because this is when the expansion was done. Ibn Rushd, for example, later on, who must have prayed in this masjid, he was the Qadi of this city. Then we have Ibn Abdul Barr, Baqi bin Makhlad earlier. Okay, great scholars. Imam Qurtubi, I am very sure, one of the best tafsirs of the Quran was written here. When the tafsir of the Quran is mentioned anywhere, anytime, there are two tafsirs that come to mind. One is Tabri, Imam Ibn Jarir al-Tabri, who was from Tabristan, Persia, and the other one is Qurtubi, who was from Spain, Qartaba. And I'm sure parts of the tafsir were taught and written in this very masjid. And now it's a cathedral. As you can see, when the Christians took it to show their power and strength, to demonstrate their victory over Islam, they put this thing in the middle, this cathedral. And there's a lot of shirk here, as you can see. A lot of statues of angels and human beings and Jesus and Mary, imaginary statues. So all of this was and is Masjid Al-Qartaba. I hope you enjoyed the footage. We do tours of Islamic Spain and Turkey and other places. You want to check out some of our future trips and tours, please go to halalgetaways.com. Halalgetaways.com. You'll find the future dates and destinations. And you must come to Al-Andalus. You must come to Spain. You must bring your children here for them to see what happened here and to see the legacy of Islam in Al-Andalus. These horseshoe arches are well known in the world. They inspired so many other places where people copied these very designs and did constructions. Just try to imagine the people who must have walked through these arches, underneath these pillars and columns. We can only imagine. So brothers and sisters, inshallah, share the content and try to join one of these trips and tours, inshallah. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa ta'ala. Starting, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, we are here. Now we're going to walk around Masjid Qartaba. We can see the structure is still very much in its original condition. You can see the entrance. This is one of the entrances to the masjid. This masjid has multiple entrances. So this side has obviously these entrances we're going to look at. The other side might have some entrances and then the other side. But look at this. This is very much Islamic architecture. This is over 1,000 years old. And I'm just surprised and blown away how this has survived. There were verses of the Quran. They have kind of faded away with time, of course. But the design is pretty intact. Inshallah, keep walking. Let's go. So as I said earlier, that these shops would have been bookshops. This would have been a book market around the masjid. Masjid was the hub, the center of learning. This is where the books were sold on theological subjects, poetry, literature, science, philosophy, you name it. All of these books would be available in these bookshops. So this is, again, absolutely mind-blowing. My words cannot describe this artwork. Clearly, subhanAllah, people put their heart to it. It's so beautiful. It's just amazing. So these are entrances to the masjid. Now they are closed because they have built many chapels inside around the compound, many chapels. And the chapels have blocked the entrances. But this seems to be renovated. This was done later. I hope they keep those older looking parts as they are, because they give the feeling of originality. This one obviously is definitely renovated. It looks slightly lighter in color. I prefer the older look, the original look. So this is Masjid Qartaba. This is Masjid Qartaba, and this is where great scholars like Ibn Abdul Barr and Imam Qurtubi, Ibn Hazm, Ibn Rushd, Baqi bin Makhlad, all these great names. I just want to talk about Baqi bin Makhlad, whose Musnad was the largest collection of hadith ever produced in the history of Islam. Currently, the largest book of hadith is Musnad Ahmad, Musnad of Imam Ahmad. One of his students who came from Spain to study with him was called Baqi bin Makhlad, who went from Spain, from Qartaba, to study with Imam Ahmad. And when he got to Baghdad, Imam Ahmad told him, I cannot teach, I'm not allowed to teach. So Baqi bin Makhlad was very saddened and disturbed by that. So they both reached an agreement that Baqi bin Makhlad would come to his door every day and take one hadith at a time and go away. The outcome, the result was the largest collection of hadith in the history of Islam. The collection, the hadith collection of Baqi bin Makhlad was larger than the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, and he was here in Qartaba Masjid. Okay, so let's go, inshallah. It's a magnificent structure. We are just walking around so that we can actually appreciate what it might have looked like. You can see a lot of Christian symbolism up there. Look, statues were put by Christians when Christians took this masjid and the city of Cordoba. Inside the masjid, they built a cathedral, and the cathedral stands to this day, and there is a lot of Christian imagery, idols, statues of Mary, Jesus, angels, saints, all sorts of things. So basically, once upon a time, the masjid was a house of tawheed where only Allah was worshipped. As soon as the Christians took it, shirk was introduced and many statues and idols, even though the Bible says, make no images unto God. Do not make any images of God. So Jesus is thought to be God in Catholicism, because Catholics are Trinitarians. The doctrine of the Trinity by default considers Jesus Christ to be God, which Quran calls blasphemy. So the idea was to implant Christianity right at the heart of Islam. This was not only a military victory, but symbolically they wanted to make a point that this was the center of Islam, Masjid Qartaba. Here we're going to plant a cathedral. Okay, so alhamdulillah, we have pretty much walked around the compound. Now we can say that we have seen Masjid Qartaba in its entirety, inside out and outside. Now, you can see that empty space there, and there's a bridge there. This bridge is on top of river Guadalquivir, or Guadalquivir. In Arabic, Wadul Kabir, the great valley. This is the river where the city was built, and you find the same river in the city of Seville. Let's go. So I encourage everyone to visit Spain with us, because we do these history tours every few months, every few weeks. Okay, tours of Islamic Spain. We visit Seville, and we visit Cordoba, and then we visit Granada. So now this is the other side of the masjid. It is a huge compound. This was the largest masjid in the world for a few hundred years, until other masajid were built elsewhere. This was, if not the biggest, one of the biggest masjids in the world. Right, you can see decoration here on this side as well. Similar decoration to what we saw on the other side. This was another entrance. This was initially a church. There was a Visigothic church in this place. And Abdurrahman the First, he decided to build a masjid, and Christians had some part of it, using it as a church. The verses of the Quran can still be read on top. You can see on the top, there's Arabic there. Now, this was added later on. You can see the shield there. It was added later on by Christians. So, brothers and sisters, those of you watching, I hope you enjoyed the history tour of Cordoba, the mosque itself, and some of the history. You want to know the details? There are books written by scholars, historians. One of them is, if you want to read the political history, one of them is Muslim, Spain and Portugal by Hugh Kennedy. There is a good book by Anwar Shahna, Muslim Spain. There is a good collection of articles on Islamic Spain, edited by Salma Khadra Jayusi. That's a good collection. And S.M. Imamuddin was an author writing in the 60s and the 70s on Islamic Spain. There are some books by him. And there is a popular book, like you can easy to read book, Ornament of the World by Maria Rosa Menocal. These are some of the books you can read. Inshallah, get some inspiration on the history of Islamic Spain. So we are getting close to the end of the walk. Inshallah. It seems our group they haven't arrived yet. We can't see them. Those guys are with us as well. Okay. Yeah. So we have half the group with us. Alhamdulillah. So you can see that we walked pretty much the whole length and width of Masjid Cordoba in this short vlog. And I did it for you guys so that you can appreciate what Masjid Cordoba looked like once upon a time. Again, to emphasize the point, all these shops around the compound were bookshops. Now there are restaurants, souvenir shops, all sorts of things. Okay? And I just want to finally show one gate that is decorated, or that was decorated by Christians. Assalamu alaikum. How are you? You okay? That was decorated by Christians. But still in very much Islamic style. This was added by the Christians, the gate, but still very Mudéjar style, inspired by Islamic art, you can see. Okay, that's the masjid compound inside. Now it's a cathedral inside. Yeah. And look at the gate. And there are bells and on top of the tower added. So on that note, brothers and sisters, thank you so much for watching. Spread the news, spread the video, subscribe, and join our tours. To join, you can go on halalgetaways.com. Halalgetaways.com. Join the tours. You'll be absolutely blown away. This video vlog cannot do justice to what we see here on the ground with our own eyes. You must join these trips if you want to inspire your children, your youngsters, to protect their identity, their pride in Islam. You must bring them here to show them all of this so that they can learn the history. They'll be blown away. On that note, thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah. Rabbil Alameen.